Praise the Lord. God is in this place.
Mm.
Hallelujah. It's worth making the sacrifice to get here on Wednesday night, I'll just tell you. Awesome, awesome. Well, let's all stand. Let's make our confession before the Lord tonight. Hold up your Bible or your hand or something, and let's make our confession before the Lord. Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
And I can have what it says I can have. Tonight I will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. Do what? Y'all remain standing. And Kurt, if you will, hold on a second. If you will, let that screen up since we're not going to be putting the scripture. You'll need your Bible tonight because Lynn isn't here, and I don't know if Kurt knows how to do that. Go ahead.
I have two pronouncements. Just this past Sunday, I got my new schedule for work. So I am working the night of Fervent Faithful on Monday night. Tonight, I'm going to be at the Fervent Faithful for the first time. And then Miss Janice and Joy. Everybody needs to know hello, my name is. That was clearly the idea. That sticky was clearly the main thing. The Janice and the Joy have been so gracious that we need to make it to Tuesday night because I'll be at work in labor delivery. So I'm going to need to bump our lady tonight to Tuesday night. Please don't miss it. I have something so important to share. I have something I'm excited about sharing. I feel like it's a good word. Well, it's a timely word. And also, I have something on my heart that I need to share. So we can bump for our faces up with y'all. Be so gracious and kind and move it up to the top of the team. I appreciate it and would love to have dinner with you. The choice is agreed. We'll have another hot radio at 7 p.m. We will say our blessings and we'll dive right in. I love to see you.
That's this coming Tuesday night, be at 7 o'clock in the Family Life Center. So don't miss it. Also, one last announcement before I read the Word. We're going to be in 1 John 4 tonight. But we have the new devotion books. I don't know if they're on the back table, Tim. If you could notice there. If not, y'all might can find some there in the sound booth. There are new devotion books. They are in there for March, April, and May. I don't know if you read the one from today, but it was excellent. Yesterday's as well. But make sure you get one per family, please, so we can have enough to go around. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I want to read just one verse of Scripture. Now, if you were at Men's Brotherhood the other night, you're going to hear something that you heard the other night, but a little bit more than that. I've just had it on my heart that we need to share this with the entire congregation. Of course, we're not doing that tonight because it's not Sunday and everybody's not here, but we're going to share it with everybody we can here tonight. 1 John chapter 4, and I want to title my message tonight, Is It Really God? So, Kurt, are you recording tonight? The title is It Really God? Is It Really God? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. May God bless the reading of His Word. If you would, take someone's hand next to you and let's pray together as a family of God. Heavenly Father, as we bow before You in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to thank You for being here with us tonight in such a real, a wonderful way. Lord, we've seen Your presence revealed and manifest here tonight. God, we feel You here with us. And God, we thank You for that precious, sweet anointing. There's nothing like it. Father, we ask now that You would grant me as Thy servant. I humbly ask for preaching grace. I pray for unction. And I pray for a ready train of thought. And I pray, God, You would open all of our hearts and minds and anoint us to receive this Word, that, Lord, it would bless us. And that it would go with us, stick with us, and we would take it and use it, God, to live a godly Christian life and a life that is victorious and shining Jesus forth in everything we say and do. So, Lord, get the glory tonight. Be with us. Bless the children, the middle schoolers, the tweenagers, the teenagers, all of them, Lord, all the different age groups as they're meeting. And, Lord, be with all of our dear church family here and those that are absent from us as well. And God, we just pray now that You will get glory and change us tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, sometimes you have to ask the question, is it really God? Mm-hmm. The reason we have to do this is because, as our verse of Scripture says, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. You see, Revelation chapter 12, if you're taking notes, Revelation 12 and verse 4 tells us that when Satan was cast out of heaven, that he slung his tail and a third of the angels, they're called stars, came out of heaven with him. We know that number to be in the hundreds of millions because of the total number of angels that are coming back one day with Jesus. They're 10,000 times 10,000. That's in the hundreds of millions. So you take a third of that, there's probably 100 million or more demonic spirits on this earth. Can I get an amen? And we sometimes bump into them during the course of our day. Can I get another amen? Some of you have seen some today, haven't you? But the good news is we don't have to fear. Amen? As long as you fear God and you walk with God, the devil can't hurt you. Amen? I remember hearing recently about a group of witches, a coven of witches, had spoken a curse over our president, President Donald Trump. And the sad thing is that it's good. Their spells can't do anything to him because back in June, according to every reliable report that I can find, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And so you can't cross the bloodline if you're a demon, if you're a devil. Amen. But they can still, without coming and taking residence inside of us, they can cause us a whole lot of trouble if we don't recognize who they are. Amen? And so tonight, that's why we come to this message. And the Bible says that Satan, oftentimes, he will transform himself into an angel of light. In other words, he will appear to be something good when there's actually something bad behind all of it. Haven't we seen that before? You know, I read this quote one time. An old black preacher, he said this. He said, you know, a lie will go all the way around the world before the truth has time to get its shoes on. And there's a lot of truth to that. You see, there's so many lies and misperceptions and deceptions going on. And the Bible says that in the last days, many will be deluded with great deception. And it said, if it weren't for God, even the very elect would be deceived. That's God's children. And so I'm going to tell you, we have to be very careful and circumspect. That's why Jesus, in the Word, He says, but be sober and be vigilant. In 1 Peter, through the Apostle Peter, He says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. That means serious. Doesn't mean you can't have a good time, but you be serious. And you be vigilant. The word vigilant means to be watchful. Jesus told His disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch and pray. And so we need to remember that because there are demonic spirits all around us. And the Bible says, try those spirits. Try them. What's that word, try? Well, it literally means to test them. You give them a test. Let me tell you, one good test to give a spirit to see whether it's of God is the love test. If it doesn't match up with Jesus' love and the love of 1 Corinthians 13, it's not of God, okay? I don't care what they preach. I don't care how good they look. I don't care how sweet she is, guys, or how handsome he is, ladies. If it doesn't pass the agape love test, then you better leave it alone. Many voices are clamoring for our attention. Because I want you to understand this, the devil is a counterfeiter. One of the things I learned in minister school was this. It's called the law of first mention. Say that with me. The law of first mention. When you see something first mentioned, whether it's a doctrine or a principle in the Bible, Follow that all the way through. It's very important when you first find something, a doctrine or a teaching first mentioned in the Bible. And with Satan, it certainly is true. Because in the Garden of Eden, the first time we are introduced to Satan there in the garden, he is this beautiful creature, a serpent. You say, well, a snake isn't pretty to me. No, because God's put enmity between the woman and the snake, okay? We've just grown up with a natural innateness in us that we don't like snakes. But I'm going to tell you, he was a beautiful creature. Very colorful, probably. And he could talk, and the way he talked, maybe he sounded like Barry White or somebody like that. You know, he had this smooth voice. And he was very beautiful, very subtle. The Bible says he's more subtle than all the beasts of the field. And that's the way the enemy does when he tries to trick us. He'll take a little tiny lie, and he'll wrap it in truth. It's kind of like, I thought about this. Our little girl, Jessie, she has to take a half of a little tablet every morning. Sin Gina had to leave out because she's got more schoolwork. One day we'll be thankful. Maybe we can all get free medical work from her when she gets through with this nurse practitioner thing. But there's this little tablet of sin something, a sin to, huh? Yeah, you work at a pharmacy. That's right, Synthroid. And it's very bitter, and it's in a tablet. And she takes a half of one every morning. It's for a thyroid condition. To get her to take it, we take a little spoon of sugar-free, no high fructose corn syrup in it either, of natural Welch's strawberry preserves. We put it in a spoon, about a third of a teaspoon, and put that little half of that little teensy tablet, smush it down in it, and I give it to Jessie. And what you can hear her crunching up the tablet. We say, that's good. But see, she doesn't taste the tablet because of all the sweet around it. See, that's the way the devil does stuff. You know, I've had people fall out with me through the years when I would mention something about the Masons or the Shriners. Listen, they do a lot of good work. But when you get to the 33rd degree, like my great-granddaddy did, and they revealed what the symbols were, it's not a good thing. The 33rd degree, they revealed that the Son of Righteousness is actually Lucifer. And the Son of Righteousness in the Bible is Jesus Christ. And all the time they think they're in a Christian organization. You get to the end there where all those things are revealed, they start teaching you that character determines your destiny. Your eternal destiny. That, in other words, by works. We're not saved by works. That's a damnable heresy according to the Bible. Ephesians 2 says, by grace are you saved. And there's so many things like that in life that appear to be good. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a lot of doctrines floating around today that look good. They seem to be Bible-based, but they're taking things out of context. And we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, because there are many false prophets, many demonic spirits operating in the world. I remember my mama, one time I went to her house years ago, and in her bathroom, stuck to her medicine cabinet mirror, was a picture of Robert Tilton. I said, Mama, what's his picture? She said, I've been sending him money. He helped so many people. I said, Mama, do you know that he got busted for what's that word? Racketeering. Racketeering. That means fraudulent practices. I said, you giving money to... He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. I don't care how good he sings or plays the piano or preaches or whatever he does. I said, you're being duped. Duped. And I'm going to tell you, we have to be careful, folks. Because it is so alluring, so many of these false doctrines. I had a dear lady when I was in Jacksonville. She was born and raised in that church. She grew up knowing the truth. She got married and married a man of another faith, outside the faith, I'd say. The man was Catholic. She ended up becoming Catholic, praying to marry. going to a priest to confess our sins instead of straight to Jesus. We don't go to, you don't confess your sins to me to get forgiveness. You go straight to Jesus, right? We have, there's one, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There is one man between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Acts, and those are both scriptures. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Speaking of Jesus Christ. And it seems so alluring. Oh, Brother Tom, they have the most beautiful cathedral that we go to, and they're so nice, they help so many people. And I know the people in it, they mean well. And the thing is, when people are bringing these false doctrines, most of the time, they don't even know it's false themselves. They would never intentionally do that. Their heart's in the right place. Let me tell you something, for years and years, until 1996, when I got gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost, I preached that all the gifts of the Spirit died when the apostles died. I preached that, and I had this book, I bought a case of them, it's called Signs of the Apostles, and it lays out a great argument. Oh, it's a good argument. It's amazing how false teachers can make a good argument. Jesus, in His day, He called them Pharisees. They were doctors of the law. But I remember I gave out all these books because I was trying to prove to people, as a good old straight-laced old Baptist boy, that there is none of this stuff going on today. You don't lay hands on the sick. You don't cast out devils. There's no praying in the Spirit. There aren't signs and wonders and miracles anymore. And really, basically, after salvation, that's all there is. There's not a baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, in 1996, my unbelieving self in that doctrine, though I love Jesus Christ, was on a collision course with the Holy Ghost. And at 1:30 in the morning, at 1355 Pebble Ridge Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, the Holy Ghost invaded me and He rocked my world, took me out of my comfort zone, and changed my whole perspective. And that coming Sunday, amen. That Sunday in that church, that large city church that was quiet, and we had high church, but it was a quiet church except with the choir song. I was shouting and I was dancing and I didn't say dancing. Bless God, my South Georgia coming at it. I was dancing in that pulpit and I was praising God, and I had people come and say, "My God, what's happened to you?" I said, "I don't know. I've had something happen to me when I was praying the other night, and I didn't know what had happened." And the first thing the old devil tried to tell you, "You gone crazy, boy. You've lost your mind." Yeah. You know what a fanatic is, a fan. It's just somebody that loves him more than you do. And anyhow, I'm going to tell you, it's amazing how we can be so convinced we are right. But you know, it's more than that about false doctrines. There's so many other voices clamoring for our attention. You think about this. The Bible says, try the spirits. Sometime read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, that we all know is the love chapter, and chapter 14. You'll read about something called the discerning of spirits. Do you know one of the greatest needs for the people of God today is discernment? We need to learn how to have discernment. Let me tell you something. As I said, this will be the third time, there's many voices clamoring for our attention. We need the discernment to know whether it's God, is this really God, or is this not God? And there's so many people that fall prey to the enemy. For instance, I've known of people, they're constantly trying to find a mate, trying to find a spouse, and they end up settling for somebody that they're unequally yoked together with. They're not a believer. And then down the road they have problems, and I won't say, how good is that working out for you? Probably not too good, amen? I did learn that lesson. And I'm going to tell you something. If we listen to the discernment of the Spirit, you see, when you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to live in you. And He gives us something called discernment. What does that mean? That means it's inside you, that voice of the Holy Ghost telling you whether something is right or wrong, whether you should do it, yes or no, whether you should speak or be silent. See, like in my life right now, there's a situation I've been dealing with. God said, it's time for you to be silent. Let me work. Back off. Let me work. You see, I listen to the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And of course, Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. The discernment of the Holy Ghost will never lead you wrong, Richard Godby. He will always tell you what is right. The Bible says you will hear a voice behind you. You will hear, thou shalt hear a voice behind thee saying, turn thee not to the left and not to the right, but this is the way. Walk ye in it. That's the Word of God. Look it up. Say, what's book, chapter, and verse? I can't remember. I got CRS. Can't remember stuff. But anyhow, it's in there. I can still remember the verse sometimes. I don't remember just where, but it's in there. And I'm going to tell you, that Spirit of God will never lead you wrong. He'll tell you when you need to invest your money in something. Not. I told y'all, know the story how I lost most of Gina's inheritance. About, it wasn't a whole lot, but between what she had and I had saved, put in about $25,000 I lost investing in a boondoggle down in Florida about 15 years ago, 12 years ago rather. I wished I had listened to God's Spirit. I didn't listen to that discernment. Something didn't seem right on the inside of me, but all I could see was dollar signs. And I was thinking, oh God, when I get this, the tithe will be great. I'll help people. I'll pay off this. I'll have enough made from that. We can build our own house and so on. The Spirit of God was constantly whispering. He don't usually holler, okay? That still small voice, He will say, no, no, no. No, don't do that. Don't do that. You shouldn't. But I didn't listen. And it cost me. The Spirit of God will tell you when you get in a partnership with somebody whether or not you need to get in that partnership. I had some dear friends a few years ago. They tried their best to get me into this business opportunity. Some of you have been asked to come to one of those meetings before. They wouldn't tell me what it was about till I got there. And I got there and they told me I was going to be selling soap and all this, but if I wanted to make a lot of money, I'd get a bunch of people to sign up under me. It's a pyramid. And bless God, I had done it one time a few years before that. Paid my whatever it was, $35 or $60 or whatever it was, dollars. And this second time, I didn't know what the meeting was, but I went. But I listened to the discernment that time. I said, you ain't Amwaying me into this, Jack. Bless God. You know, there's too many preachers and Christian people out just trying to sell vitamins and things. If we would just put our nose to the grindstone and work, and if we tell people about Jesus and pray and take care of what God gives us, not blow it on everything and not think we got to eat out at the Longhorns every night, we might have something. Can I get an amen from somebody in here? I'm tired. Bless God. I got to get off on a rabbit here. I'm tired of seeing people bellyache about how they don't have any money. But every time you look on Facebook, they're eating at the Longhorns, or they're down here at this restaurant or that restaurant, and they're going on this trip, that trip. Bless God. Start learning how, if you want God to bless you, first be a tither, but then take care of what He gives you. If that isn't right, let your discernment show you. That's the truth. And so discernment is so important. We need that discernment today. And you say, well, how do I get that discernment? Let me say one last thing. John 16:13. Let me turn there in my Bible because I don't want to misquote it. John 16:13. Turn in your Bibles if you've got your Bible there. If you don't, you need to. John 16:13. And it says this. Now, these were some of Jesus' last directions to His disciples before He went, before He left Him. Okay? I'd say that's going to be pretty important directions, wouldn't you? John 16:13, it says, howbeit when He, this Jesus told, He says, howbeit that when He, the Spirit of truth is come, that's the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but look at this. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And look, and He will show you things to come. He'll show you things to come. What's that sound like? Sound like the future, doesn't it? You know that discernment inside of you will tell you what's ahead sometimes. I won't say every time, no. He doesn't tell you everything's coming. But you know what? There's been times where people, that discernment, they listened to the Spirit of God inside them, and they were at the airport, and the Spirit of God said, don't you get on that airplane. I remember hearing a man's testimony how that God told him not to get on the airplane. He didn't get on it. It was one of the ones that crashed on 9/11. So thankful he listened to the Spirit of the living God. Let me tell you, He will not lead you wrong. You say, well, how? You mean that God will talk to people? You must be crazy. Some people criticized President Trump recently because he said that he prayed and God spoke to him. They said, oh, you're a lunatic. You think God still talks to people? I want to serve them notice God does still talk to people. I know for a fact. Amen, don't you? I talked to Him just before I come here and I heard Him. I heard Him talk to me just before I got here tonight. Bless God. But the Bible says in John 10, it says, my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. My sheep hear my voice. Glory to God. And there's been many a time that I guarantee all of us could say, you know, I listened to that Spirit of God, that discerning of spirits inside of me, and you know what? I was so blessed that I listened. Let me tell you what else the Spirit of God will do through this discernment. He'll a lot of times tell you what somebody's like when you meet them for the first time. Now, I'll be honest with you, I need to sharpen this on me a little bit. And you got to understand, I'm in a little peculiar of a bit of a situation. I'm a pastor and a shepherd. And I have an evangelistic spirit. I'm like, my arms is wide open all the time. Come on in! Come on in the fold! My wife, Gina, and Brother Jamie, Pastor Jamie, and Sister Glenda, I can't tell you how many times those three through the years, and probably Pastor Harry too, have said to me, Tom, you are so gullible. You just look for the best in everybody. I saw that coming a mile away. And sometimes I don't see it because I'm just trying to see everybody get saved. You know, I'm just trying to see everybody be blessed. I really am. And I'm not saying that bragging on myself. It's not that. I wish I could cut back on some of that. But that's just not the way God wired me. But I need to listen to that discernment better. Because He always has told me. He's always told me. I remember a few years ago, a fellow that was from this area, he started talking to me, calling me on the phone. He had a bright future ahead of him. He probably would have been one of the greatest preachers anywhere in this area. He was licensed by this church, matter of fact. I was not the pastor here. I was pastoring in Brooklyn, Georgia. This fellow started calling me on the phone, and he started out, and he sold me some insurance, which was a boondoggle. But he started talking to me about a strange doctrine. The doctrine was that Jesus never existed until He was born of the Virgin Mary. That He didn't exist beforehand. And He had all these good scriptures and things that He tried to explain it with. And I'm going to tell you, for two or three days after he talked to me for a couple of hours at one time, he kind of had my head messed up. Had another preacher. And he tried to give me some other false doctrine. Again, two or three days, I was kind of messed up. My whole thinking, I mean, was kind of out of whack. I thought, well, everything's turned upside down. A Brother Mullis, you know what I'm talking about. And I went to my pastor, Brother Durrance. He said, you tell him that you don't need any instruction from him anymore. That between prayer and your Bible, King James Bible, you get everything you need. You don't need him to instruct you. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Both times, that though I wasn't listening, because I'm so open, I always have been, to people, the Spirit of God was saying, warning, warning,
Don't get close to that person. Keep your distance. And I didn't listen. And you know what? It was bad ramifications. Bad ramifications. I'm going to close with, I need 5 minutes. Y'all give me 5 minutes. Discerning of spirits. Is it really God? Is it really God? The Holy Spirit will let you know what's coming in the future. He'll let you know about people, situations, etc. How do I know if it's really God? Number one, the voice of discernment gets clearer the more you listen to it and obey it. The more you listen to the voice of God inside of you and obey Him, the clearer, the more distinct, the sharper that voice will be. And you'll know like that. Secondly, if you don't know it's really God, does it match up with Scripture? Well, Brother Tom, you just said how people can prove anything by the Bible if they want to. Yeah, they can, taking it out of context. You take the Bible out of context, you can say anything you want to with the Bible. You can say anything in the world you want to say. But read the context. I'm going to give you a Latin word, okay? Y'all going to learn Latin. How many wants to learn Latin real quick in about 10 seconds? Raise your hand. Come on, Wanda, throw your hand up, honey. Everybody say sacro, saint. Not saint, but with a S-A-N-C-T, saint. All right, ready? Together. Sacro, saint. That means this is a fundamental, important, irrefutable principle. In other words, it's really important. Really important. And let me tell you something sacrosanct about understanding the Bible. Context, context, context is sacrosanct. If it says, for God so loved the world, and then you get over here and you think God doesn't ever give you an opportunity, there's not a chance He never loved you. Let me tell you, you're taking something out of context because context is sacrosanct and it'll always tell you the truth. The best way to interpret Scripture is with Scripture. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. Amen, Brother Harry. So first, to know whether it's really God, that discernment voice, listen to it, obey it, and it'll get clearer and sharper the more you do. Secondly, Scripture, and keep it in context. Number three, mature Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians. I said mature. Everybody say mature.
Mature.
Or as my daddy would say, mature. Mature. Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians. If it makes them uneasy, that ought to be a check in your spirit right there. If it makes them uneasy. Listen to them. The Bible says, let the older men teach the younger men. Not the other way around. The younger men don't teach the older men. I'm sorry. And let the older women teach the younger women. Not the younger women, the older women. Why? Because it's just the way it is. As you grow older, you may think that grandma's stupidest thing has ever been, but she's learned something in 70 years. She would still be here. And she's been walking with God for 50 years, and you've been walking with God for 5 years. You don't know nothing next to what she knows. Amen? Hallelujah. So mature, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians. I ain't talking about somebody that says they're a Christian but don't believe the Word of God. If they don't, I don't care how old they are. Number four, pray and listen. Pray and listen. Talk to God. It works. And listen. Remember, you got two ears and one mouth, right? That's for a reason. That means we ought to listen twice as much as we talk. But usually it's the other way around. And we get to praying, oh Lord, this I need, that, bless this one and bless that one, and God, get that one for me and get this one for me. And so on. We ought to pray a short prayer and then say, now Lord, speak to me. Thy servant heareth. and get quiet and listen for 10, 15 minutes. You might get one word that'll flash in your mind. Just one word. But I'm going to tell you, one word from God, if it takes an hour, is better than anything we can say all day long. He's got the answer to every problem. He's got the solution to every trouble. He's got the answers, and we need to start listening to God. Amen? And then finally, and I touched on this earlier, back to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 3, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." If Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, is not lifted up, and if what they're saying doesn't match up what that Bible says about Him, they're not talking about the same Jesus. Like Paul said, it's another gospel. And if it's really of God, Jesus Christ will be lifted up. Jesus Christ will be exalted. And not anything else. Not anything even on the plane or equal with Him. He's above all. Amen. Come on, David. Jeff. Ashley. We're going to do a song. And we're going to open up the altars. I want to ask you, because the anointing's still here. He's been brooding over this place tonight. There's been an anointing of the presence of God in this place. And while we sing this song, I want you to come to this altar, and I want you to pray, God, this why don't you pray, very simple, pray, God, sharpen my discernment. Because I'm going to tell you, in these last days, there's going to be much false teaching going around. And I want you to know, I promise, with everything in me, that I will, as best I can, never mislead you. But I want you to check in the Bible to see if what I'm preaching is true. If a man's really a man, a true man of God, he don't mind you. In fact, you hear me telling you, why don't you have your Bible? I want you to follow. Because I can get off track, not intentionally, but just like anybody else. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not so worried about me. I'm thinking about all these other influences all around us. If you don't think this thing is working, what the devil's doing, look how many young people today say same-sex marriage is okay. Look how many today say it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere in it. Even Rick Warren has been mixing, they call it Christology, and they're having Muslims and Christians, Hindus, and all come together to pray together. Listen, I don't pray together with them. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I can't fellowship with a Muslim. I'm sorry. I can love them. I can feed them if they're hungry. I'll help them. I won't let nobody hurt them or mistreat them if I got anything to do with it. But I don't worship with them. If they want to come to our church and worship the Lord Jesus Christ or observe, that's one thing. But I'm not going to have an interfaith service, because there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I'm telling you, this thing is running rampant all over the world. The devil, he's doing all he can do, Patty. You know why? He knows he's got just a little bit of time. And we've got to sharpen our discernment. The only way we can sharpen it, it's by spending time in the Word. It's by praying and listening. It's by listening to people that's been walking with God longer than us. It's by getting to know Jesus Christ in a more intimate, real way. It's by obeying that voice of discernment. And it'll get clearer and clearer. So tonight I'm going to ask as many as will to come crowd around these altars, wherever you can get, and say, Lord, sharpen my discernment and the discernment of my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, tonight is your night. I invite you to come. Come to this old-fashioned altar and say yes to Jesus. We might be out in the middle of nowhere, right on the banks of the Hoopy River,
But God knows right where you are right now. And if He's dealing with your heart tonight and you need to say yes to Him, if you feel a conviction in your spirit tonight, you need to come forward and receive Him. You need to rededicate your life tonight and pick up your cross and follow Him. You need to do that. Whatever's on your heart, if you need prayer for anything, these pastors, Brother Kurt, Brother Harry, Brother Keith, we'll be glad to pray with you any way we can. I'm so glad to have all three of them back up here. When Brother Josh is out of town, or he'd be here. But it's good to have everybody getting back and getting well. You come as the Lord speaks to you. Brother David. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. From age to age He stands. From age to age He stands. And time is in His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. And ere we all will praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Name above all names. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. He's the name. He's the name above all names. Oh, yes, He is. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
Tag it, and all will see.
And all will see how great is our God. Hallelujah. Give Him praise. El Shaddai. Glory to God. El Shaddai. The God of more than enough. God Almighty. Breaking every yoke. Destroying all the chains. Hallelujah. We got a mighty God, folks. Hallelujah. I want to speak a blessing over you tonight. Just stretch your hands toward heaven. Close your eyes. I'm going to speak a blessing on you tonight. Now may the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cover you each and every one. Every member of your family. May everything you set your hand to do be blessed of the Lord. May God's favor chase you down and overtake you. And may God make His face to shine upon you. When you lie down, when you get up in the morning, in the city you're blessed in the country. May your seed possess the gates of your enemies. You are the head and not the tail. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. And the things that have turned against you, may God turn them back around. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bless you as a man of God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. I want you to pray for me in a special way for Sunday. I've got a word on my heart for Sunday. And it's from the book of Esther. You know, we're in the season of what is called Purim. And God respects special times of the year. He really does. And it was at this time of the year that the Jews would always read the book of Esther. I want to encourage you to be reading the book of Esther between now and Sunday. Now, God may change my mind between now and then, but it won't hurt you to read it, okay? But that's what I have on my heart right now. And I want to share with you about how God can take something that looks bad, He can totally turn it upside down and make it work for your good. You be praying that God will bless me and help me and pray.